absolutely amazing to have you. Yeah, the last few weeks have been interesting, the last few months. But I've got a question for each and every one of us here. You know, who of you, when you're facing trials, tribulations, feels like this picture behind me? You know, yes. You know, you're standing on that beach, you know, you're facing that storm, you're facing that wave, and you don't know what, you don't know where, you don't know how. This last couple of months, you know, for me, faced a bit like that. I was standing on that beach and it had this nice big wave looking me in the face. And at work, we had this big restructure going on. And I suddenly found myself having to upskill myself in many different things, things I never understood really. But I had to upskill myself, and it was really creating a lot of pressure, anxiety, stress, worries. And I'm a big boy, as you can see. And I thought to myself, I can handle this. I can, you know, I can stand against it, I can carry it. And my biggest mistake that I made was I tried to do it alone. Okay. So I was feeling stretched, wasn't sure how to handle this, the anxiety was building up, and I just got to this point like that wave where I actually had to learn a very valuable lesson. Now, the lesson I had to learn was that God is with me. It was like just a clear picture that came up that I am with you. And the realization to me was, you know, just like the word says, God has never left me, he has never forsaken me. So standing on that beach alone, he's always there, the footprints are there. I just didn't look for his footprints. And in the Bible, we can find so many scriptures that tells us God is with you, he walks with you, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. But we just need to spend our time in the Word. And I kind of slipped and slid with it, and I'll tell you about that a bit later. So the Word after that picture that came up with me was, be strong, be courageous. Now, Joshua 1:9 says the following. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, God gave this command to Joshua and was telling him, no matter what you face, no matter where you go, no matter what is coming across your path, I will be with you. When you guys go through the Jordan, don't worry. Stay with me and I will guide you. And we could say to ourselves, hey, this is Old Testament, this is Joshua, this is the Israelites, this is like quite a few thousand years ago. How does that pertain to us? How does that come, you know, have an effect on us? Now, luckily it's the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. Hebrews 13:8 says the following. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, if the same God told Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go, then that same God is telling us, I will be with you wherever you go, whatever you face, whatever wave, whatever storm. Now, the big thing here is that the same God of creation is the same God today, it's the same God tomorrow. Now, God never changes, like I said. It's usually us that slips and slide a little bit and miss the match, you know, miss the match bit. Now, when we stand there, we can go, you know, how can I be sure of this? How can we be sure of this? Now, normally when when I go, I mean all of us, but this whole, when I was putting this together, it was a lot lessons that I had to learn, and I just wanted to keep sharing with you. Mm-hmm. Now, how can we be sure of this? Isaiah 41, Old Testament, here we go again. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now in Isaiah, of course, there, God is telling the Israelites through Isaiah, listen, don't worry, fear not. I am with you. You know, you are far from your home, you are with the Babylonians, but I am with you. You know, and God was telling his children there that he is their helper. He is their savior. Nothing else, nobody else.
Mm.
And of course, because we serve the same God as the Israelites have, and we have the same God today, the same as we've just read in Hebrews 13, that he's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it means he is our Lord, our helper, yeah, our comforter, our strength.
Yeah, very good.
When we look at Hebrews 13:6, and this is how we know he is our helper, our comforter, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Mm.
Now, that's so encouraging. I mean, when I read that during the week, it was like, I would say a little locomotive hit me, you know, and it was like, no matter what my storm is, no matter what I'm facing, he's there. I just got to tap into him. I just got to hold his hand. No, nothing and nobody can rip my hand out of his hand. And that's where he wants us, in his hand. Now, when we do face adversity like I did, of course, suddenly, do all of you know those little dolls you get with the wobbly head? And unfortunately, I was going like this, all right? Serious. And the storm was just blowing my head all over the place and couldn't really function, and I was tied down. And of course, anxiousness built up higher and higher and higher. And of course, what happens to us with anxiousness hits us? Proverbs, or Solomon says it so nicely. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad.
Mm.
Now, anxiety in Hebrew is daaga, and it can be broken down into a few parts, which is fear, heaviness, and sorrow. So it's not just that tense feeling. There's a few things that goes with anxiety. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've got anxiety in my heart, stress, worries, concern, it feels like somebody's tied my feet, put me in a hole, closed the door, threw some concrete over me, and I'm kind of like, I'm a bit stuck here, you know? Especially when I try to do it and fix things myself. And I had to get to that point of how can I get away or move out of that anxiety, and out of that fear, out of that sorrow, out of that heaviness of heart. And just like it says there in Proverbs 25, a good word makes him glad. God's word makes us glad. God's word strengthens us. God's word lifts us up. And of course, our fellow believers, an encouraging word, a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, will also lift you up. So when you see that somebody beside you, or that somebody that is looking like they're having a bad day, don't be afraid to go to them. Will you pray for them? Will you just give them just a word to lift their spirit? Do it, because it could make, you know, somebody that's down there stand up here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we read God's word, of course, there's a secret. Now, this is just my thinking. You've got to breathe it. You've got to drink it. You've got to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Same as you do with communion. We drink and eat the Lord's body. Same with the word Jesus is on paper. It's him on paper, so we've got to use that. Now, the more I started digging into God's word, and the more I got back on track, something very funny happened, and the only way I can describe it is he just fired me up again. Yeah. It was just like, I was down in that hole, and suddenly, right, I've got this wave coming at me. Yeah. Whatever. Don't matter. Won't faze me, it won't move me. I've got my helper is here, my Lord is here.
Beautiful.
What is that going to do to me?
Mm.
All right. So if I do say some funny stuff, please feel free to go, hey, listen, it doesn't make sense. But when we read 2 Timothy 1:7, it says it's so beautiful, and this is how I know God fires us up. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Now, the NIV said it really nice for me. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. So it doesn't make you a chicken, it doesn't make you scared. You know? But gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Mm-hmm. And that self-discipline of spending time with the Lord, being on our knees, because the only way we're going to fight and survive what the world is training us with is on our knees. We can't battle it standing up. And that is something I had to learn as well again, or come back to. Now, where should all our trust and faith be, of course? When we read Proverbs 3:5, it says the following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. The good translation actually puts it really nicely as well. Now, some of you will go to smile when you hear the last bit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Yeah. And of course, I thought I knew I could take this. I'm very strong. So I shouldn't have relied on myself. Now, King Solomon, being the richest man, the wealthiest, he had everything a normal person could ever want or need. If he was this wise to write this and have this reverential fear, how much more shouldn't we be who is of the new covenant and bought by the blood of the Lamb? And that was the thing that came up for me. We should be even more aware of this than Solomon was, even though he was such a wise king. Now, the one thing is, we'll always have a problem with our spirit and our flesh. Well, sometimes our flesh thinks it knows a lot better than our spirit. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome your flesh. Alright. Now, I'll tell you a little story here, and I had to become real dependent here. And I was coming back Wednesday night from Partington. And before I left, in my spirit, I was like, I'm going to take Chester Road to go home, just like that. Right? And I came up to Chester Road, and my mind went, man, just go straight. Go down the motorway, go straight. And I went straight past Chester Road, and I got this, the best way I can describe it is this crunch on my chest, like the Holy Spirit squeezing my chest. And then the question came up, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, nope, I'm going to do a U-turn. So I pulled over, checked the U-turn, went down Chester Road, got to the mill, to the big roundabout, and stopped there, and the worker came over and said, hey, listen, sir, sorry, that Masterton-Partington motorway main road is closed, so that highway 2 is closed for now. We've been cleaning up a mess the last 15, 20 minutes. We don't know when we're going to open it. So if you need to get to Carterton, go back Chester Road, or if you're going to go to Masterton, I said, no, I'm going to Masterton. And right there I went, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. I listen. And that is where we need to come back to that dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can't profess to trust God, Jesus, but not the Holy Spirit. You know, they are the Trinity, they are the three in one. You know, you've got one without the other doesn't mean nothing. And unfortunately, like we are as humans, we've got a knack or a tenacity to mess up. And we are going to mess up. But that's where the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures are going to bring you back to just realizing what has happened, what have you done. You know, it's like Jesus said in Matthew that our fight is, you know, we should live by the Spirit, but we're fighting our flesh, and we should be be much sure about that.
Very good.
And family, please do not make the same mistakes I have. That's why I'm sharing this with you today. Listen to the Holy Spirit, walk with Him, because the storms that you are all facing, I mean, all of us have got a fight, a storm, something that's going on in our lives. Get close to the Holy Spirit, listen to Him. He will guide you. Now, as I told you earlier, my anxiety built, alright? And it built immensely. I got home, and that was Wednesday. I had some work to do before the Wednesday night churches at Hills. And the anxiety built to a point was, and I'm not proud of what I'm going to tell you now, but again, I want to share it with you so that learn from my mistakes. Sitting there doing some stuff, and my wife just came over to me and said, hey, listen, we've got the guinea pigs outside. And I don't know where it came from, I don't know how it, and the only thing I can think is that anxiety and that pressure I've been feeling. And I just went, do I have to do everything in this home? You know, that was disrespectful. That wasn't loving. That's not the way a husband and a God-fearing man should have spoken. And it just hit me that, what are you doing? But anyways, and it hurt my wife. I could see my daughter was really there, but, and I just carried on because I was so under pressure. I was trying to finish my costings and billings and all that kind of stuff. Closed the computer, and then was like, oh, Peter Carterton. Peter Carterton, and we were in that course. And I'm so thankful for some of my brothers that are here, because in that course, Dr. Cloud talked about the real love of God. And it just hit me, man, you didn't show any love. That was my love. And I actually had to confess to you, some of my brothers here, I do repent. I was like, hey boys, I'm not going to actually tell you something. And even though I felt like I was dragging my tongue on the ground and had to lick some boots, it actually, I felt relieved by getting that off my chest. And with that scripture, I came to the conclusion, listen, when you get hung out, doesn't, even if you've got to wake your family up, you've got to put it right what you've done. You've got to fix it. And got home, woke up my wife, said, listen, I'm so sorry. I should not have treated you like that. I really love you. You are enough. You are worth more than anything. And I wouldn't give it up. And I just said the same to my daughter. I said to her, darling, I'm sorry, for how Dad acted. And it was probably the hardest here. So I had to say sorry to my wife, but even harder to my child. Because I want to show my child and give it the example and change the part. And I didn't. But when I said sorry to them, it was like a huge load that was lifted off my chest. Somebody took that big locomotive and lifted it off my chest. That part that I couldn't breathe was gone.
Beautiful.
And if I could change, if I could go back in time and change my first response to my wife, I would, but I'm glad God gave me a second chance, the Holy Spirit gave me a second chance to fix that. And that, and He removed that anxiety. Let me tell you, when you listen to the Holy Spirit and you really spend time with Him, it works. Nothing can change that. And nothing is better than spending time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, I was just going, oh Lord, what do I need to do from now on? Psalm 46:10 came up. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And it was so good just to become still after I've apologized to my family. And I just went to the lounge and I just sat there and I read this and I was like, Lord, this is what I need to do more. I need to become still. I need to slow my life down. Yes, life is crazy. We've all got things to do. We're chasing cows around and trucks around and drivers around and everything else around and our children and, you know, all we're planning a holiday or whatever. But that becoming still and knowing that He is God is gold.
Mm.
Never go away from that. And the thing that came to me was, it just re-emphasized, when that wave is coming, when that storm is standing in front of me, when I'm facing that adversity, I can't be shifted from being still in front of my God and my Lord, my Savior, my Helper.
Very good.
The best way I could describe it, my daughter loves tornadoes. You know, that storm that was in my front of me was like an EF5 tornado crossed with a big typhoon, tropical typhoon. And once I became still, that typhoon was like a little dusting. Yeah, whatever. I've got peace. And as I read that, John 14:27 came on in my mind. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, when I found that peace, and even right here now, even though, you know, it's pretty big thing to come and stand and share these intricate parts of your life with people. And I wasn't feeling anxious. I just had that peace because I was like, Lord, you've got me. I might forget if you say a few things. I might say a few things different to what I've written it down, but you've got this. So even though it might be a little dust devil again, I can stand here in peace and know that you've got me. And when we walk with the Spirit, spend time with the Spirit, spend time with God, and really just have Him, nothing will be able to shift us. And I know now that nothing can shift me if I just stay with Him Trust in God, trust in Jesus, walk in the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you, let the Spirit teach you. Because it's like it says in God's Word, you know, the Word will teach you, rectify you, edify you, it'll teach you all things, and that is where our strength is. All the adversities, all the trouble we face, all the bad things that's coming our way, or has come our way, it's in the Word. We need to fit into the Word, not the Word to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been guilty of that, where I wanted the Word to fit around my things. But it doesn't work that way. We've got to fit into the Word.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Amen. Family, the last thing, and this is a statement as true as ever, as time itself, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So all this adversity, all this strength, all this anxiousness, all anxiety you have, He is your way, He is your truth, and He is your life. And I've got the back on my knees and said, Lord Jesus, you are my life. I want more and more and more and more of you. No matter what I face, no matter how busy it gets, no matter how crazy my life goes, that's what I want. Family, I think all of you would want that same thing, because that peace that He gives you, you won't find it in any books, you won't find it in Time Magazine, Cosmopolitan, you won't find it in the biggest bottle or the biggest bottle store. But the only peace you'll find is in Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen. Amen.
And my favorite verse, my favorite scripture of all, and this is where I've now kind of resigned to staying with God. I haven't got it on yet. But it's Psalm 119, verses 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is what the word now is to me. It is everything. I don't want to shift away from it again. I believe nobody here wants to shift away from it again. Stay in it, stay with it. And I believe that you will not be sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like this morning, coming kind of imminent on about it, but we do want to make time now if, and we discussed it with Bruce, if there's anybody that would like us to pray with you now, we would like to pray with you. You want to come up and we want to pray with you. You don't have to stand alone. You don't have to be on your own. You don't have to face what you're facing on your own. We would like to pray with you and that you know that we are a family that cares and want to stand with you in the gap. So I just want to make an invitation. If anybody would like some prayer, please come up. We would love to pray for you. Don't let it pass you by, please.